So there's a word from the Lord, y'all. There is a word from the Lord. Comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Joshua, chapter 24, y'all. Verses 14 through 15, reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, it says this. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? God can give you the land of your enemies. But as for me and my family, this is what Joshua said. As for me and my family, as for me and my house, we will. Come on, y'all. We will serve the Lord. I want to speak this morning from the thought to these graduating seniors. The ball is in your court. The ball. Yeah, bring them up. The ball is in your court. Amen. The ball is in your court. Think about this. The shot clock is down to 3 seconds. The next shot will win the game. The star basketball player is in position. The ball is passed to them. The ball is in their hands. What will they do with the ball? The football game is tied. Fourth quarter. All they need to do is one more score and the team will win the game. The kicker steps out on the field. He's in position. The holder is in position. The ball snaps. Holder of the football gets the football. The kicker stares at the football. How hard is palpitating, watching the football in the goalpost. What will the football player do? What about life? What do you do when you've been handed the ball? What do you do when you have possession of the ball? That it's your responsibility to decide what you're going to do next. What do you do in a moment like this in life? The ball is in your court. That expression actually comes from the game of tennis. And many of us know something about the game of tennis. When the ball lands on your side of the court, it's your responsibility to decide what you're going to do with that ball. You can watch it pass by, or you can spring into action, and you can return the ball to your opponent. The ball is in your court. That is your move. But you decide what you're going to do next. Looking at our scripture for today, it's the last chapter of the book of Joshua. And so the tribes of Israel have gathered together and they meet at a place called Shechem. And Joshua is now old and he's preparing to die. But he wants to remind Israel about their history, to remind them of how far God had brought them, where they had come from. Your history, graduates, is about who you are and where you come from. But your history is also about where you plan to go in this world and in this life. There are some parts of your history that may not be so good, but you can let those parts go. But your history is important. It's vitally important. The history of Israel was important. That God called a man by the name of Abraham, who was an idol worshiper. And God called him to serve him and to be the father of many nations. From Abraham came Isaac. From Isaac came Jacob and Esau. Some of you Bible readers, y'all know the story of Israel and how they came to be as a people. That Jacob's name became Israel, which means God perseveres. And through the mighty hand of God, the nation of Israel, they persevered through many things. They endured famine, slavery in Egypt, deliverance out of Egypt. They were trapped at the Red Sea. They went through the wilderness. And finally, after a generation passes away, they make it to the promised land, the place that God had prepared for them. In short, listen, they went into a land that they did not toil for. They had cities that they did not build, vineyards that they didn't plant. God's blessings were upon them, but it was just not for no reason. It was because they were obedient to the Lord, at least for some time. And at any moment where their blessings could be taken away. And that's what I want y'all to know this morning, that God has blessed you in a powerful way, in a mighty way. But what you choose to do with the ball in your life, what you choose to do with your life, really can mean God continues to bless you. Well, the blessing can be taken away. So what are you going to do? Graduates, you're prepared to leave home, and maybe leaving home seems like you're leaving Egypt. It's not. Listen. Listen, remember this. Listen, full grown means that, listen, you pay your own utility bill. You can pay the cell phone bill. You can make the mortgage payment or the rent payment. You can make the car payment. That's full grown. And so before you get mom and dad's face, say, I'm a full grown, whatever. Before you do that, think about who paying the utility, who paying the grocery bill. Think about it for a minute now. Come on, parents. But the quality of your future is dependent upon what you choose in terms of how you will serve God. The ball is in your court. And so our hope for you as a church family, the hope and the desire of your families is that you will serve God, that you'll make the right choice. And so I just want to remind you of just a few things from Joshua's graduation speech to the nation of Israel as they stood in the promised land. Let this be a part of your graduation speech as you graduate into life and God elevates you in your life and in your future. So I just want to give you a few suggestions. The first one is this. Be all in for God because he went all out for you. 14a. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Joshua says, fear the Lord. Have reverence for the Lord. Stand in awe of God Almighty. Respect him. Give God his props, y'all. Because God went all out for Israel. God went all out for us. Because God went all out for Israel. God went all out for us. We have to go all out for him. They just sang the song, I give myself away. Why do you give yourself away to God? Because he gave you and me his very best. That his son gave his life for you and for me. And so that ought to cause us to want to give our very all to God Almighty. So what would it look like, y'all? What would it look like if your parents did all they did for you up until this point in your life, 17, 18 years old? They kept a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and some nice clothes too. Yeah, some of y'all got some nice kicks. So some of us remember when it came to them kicks, you went to Ken's Dollar Store, and you got the Bobos. But y'all got nice clothes, you got nice kicks, you live in a nice home, and listen, the air conditioning is working, and guess who's provided? Mom and Dad is doing all of that stuff for you. What would it look like if they provide Chick-fil-A, even as you want, every time you want it? Y'all the Chick-fil-A generation. Y'all the Chick-fil-A. Somebody, I'm like, y'all know what I'm, y'all the Chick-fil-A generation. Okay, I love me some Chick-fil-A, all right? With them waffle fries. Come on now. That barbecue sauce, dipping them nuggets in there. I love me some Chick-fil-A. Come on, do any of y'all love Chick-fil-A? Come on, come on. Don't be scared to raise your hand. Anybody on this side of the room love Chick-fil-A? Come on, talk to me now. That's what I'm talking about. But God has provided all of this stuff for you and many extras. Some, if not all of y'all, went to prom. Y'all were dressed to the nine. That they probably had a car to pick you up, or however it went. That you got a graduation gown, the cap and the gown. You got the yearbook. You got the ring. You got all of that. Your mother and your father provided that for you. But what would it look like if you turn around and diss them out of everything that they've done for you? That you treat them like you ain't got no act right. What does that look like? And what does that say about your relationship with God? Guess what, though? All of that stuff that you got, God gave you the parents that gave you all of the stuff that you got. That you got the clothes, that you can dress to the nine, that you got to get. God gave you those parents. And what would it look like for you to diss God once you get out of the house for all that God has provided for you, all that God has given you? Don't diss God. Have respect and awe for God and all that he's done for you. Because guess what? God has given you his very best. And how do I know? Because John 3:16 says so, that God gave his only son, that he died for you and for me. God gave you his very best. God gave us his very best. And so we ought to go all out for God, full board, that there's nothing that God would not want from us, that we would not want to do for God because of all that he's done for us. Be all in for God because he went all out for you and he went all out for me. Not only that, but look at verse 14b. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. Serve God and nobody else. Keep serving God so that you won't worship something or someone else. God created us for worship. But because of Satan, the devil, and his perversions, that we can easily begin to worship someone or something else. You were created to worship God. Joshua gave them some options. He says, serve God faithfully or serve these idols that your ancestors once served. If serving God is the right way, then serve God. And throw away the idols that you have in your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 from the Message version of the Bible, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds dislike for the other. You can't worship God and money and both at the same time. An idol, y'all, listen, y'all, an idol is any object that you worship. Any object that perhaps you may put above, it can be money, it can be status, it can be fame, it can be possessions, it can be position. Just as those in the ancient days worshiped these false gods, these things carved out of stone or gold or wood. Can you imagine that? Think about it for a minute. You take a tree, you carve out some image, and then you bow down to it. What sense does that make? But what sense does it make for you to go to college and work for 4 years and 6 years and get a degree, you get success and fame, and you bow down to the success and fame that God gave you? So idol worship is still true today. It's still real today. Don't become idol worshipers. Worship God and worship God alone and nobody else. That worship is about adoration. It's about praise. It's about standing in awe and reverence to God. Worship God alone. Worship belongs to God and God all by himself. Worship should be public and it should be private. Never be ashamed to show God his props. To thank God in public. If you know God has blessed you, tell God did it. We got elevate. Tell them God did that. Don't be ashamed. Let people, God did it. When you come into the house of God, wherever you go in life, find yourself a place where you can worship God with the community of God, where you can lift up holy hands, where you can praise God. Find you that place. I know your mamas and daddies, and I know for some of y'all, listen, they brought y'all up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Jesus was spoken in the household. Don't allow yourself to go to college and you listen to in your philosophy to people philosophizing and talking about world religions and other stuff that's out there, and all of a sudden say that God doesn't exist. So I'm letting y'all know in advance, it's gonna come y'all way. That you're gonna get in that class and you're gonna get around other groups of people, and they're gonna tell you, probably experience it now, that God does not exist. God is real. God is real. So keep God in your heart. The God, the Jesus that your mom and daddy taught you about, keep him in your heart. Keep him in your life. I cannot express that enough. Don't let go of him. He won't let go of you. Worship is about adoration and praise and reverence to God Almighty. There's a hit gospel music song written by Jonathan McReynolds, and so some of y'all may have heard of him. He writes this song called No Gray. He says in the song, it goes like this: Lord, I'm split in two. Part of me loves the world and the other loves you. And before something happens, I got to turn it all around, because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. Because it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still do things our way. But see, it doesn't work that way. You got to be white or black. What am I saying? There's really no gray areas in God. Either you're for God or you're not for God. Don't straddle the fence. Don't try to live in two worlds. And I'm talking to you from experience, not about something I've heard somebody else say. That one foot is in the church, and I'm saying God is good, but the other foot is in the world, saying I want that too. You cannot serve two masters. Either you'll serve God or you'll serve this world. Be careful with the people that you hang out with. Sometimes we think that we're strong enough against the pool because they're not serving God. They could care less about God, but we like them because they're cool, and they draw us, and they can draw us. And really, but I'm strong enough. Be careful the people that you hang out with. I've just found this out in my own life. I'm not speaking for anybody else. That if you're not careful, the same people that you think you're strong enough to stand against because they don't serve God, they'll have you on their side. So be careful. Be careful who you hang out with. All that wasn't even my script. I just want to talk to you today. That my hope for you, my heart for you, our heart for you is that you would stick with God. Right. And we believe that God's going to take you places. Tatia, God's going to take you places. God has a whole lot of good stuff in store for you. But you got to stay with God. Because here's the reality. If you don't worship God, you will worship something or someone else. The worship of nothing is not existent. You will worship someone or something. Something will take a priority in your life, whether it's your title or your status or success or money in the bank or the car you drive or the house that you live in. But that's just stuff. All of that's just, it's fleeting stuff. Don't let those things become the idols of your life. Worship God. Keep God first. Worship God, because if you don't, you will worship something or someone else. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is tempted by the devil. The devil takes him up to this high place and shows him the kingdoms of the world. He shows Jesus all this grand stuff. And he simply says to him, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of these things. Now imagine this for a minute. It's kind of humorous. How can the devil tell Jesus, God in the flesh, what he's going to give him? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell. It all belonged to him anyway. But I believe this. Listen, the devil wants to rip away from you what God is already blessing you with and will bless you with. What did Jesus say? Get away from me, Satan. It is written, worship God and serve him and serve him only. I hope your ears are open to what Pastor Love is saying this morning. I hope that you take these words seriously. You take them to your heart and you hold these words dear to you. The ball is in your court. The devil's going to show you a lot of things. That he's going to show you success, show you money. That he's going to show you Tyrone and he's looking good. He's going to show you Shaquanda. And she looking real good. But in that moment, I want you to make a choice. A wise person once told me, Sister Dana, is she in here? Sister Dana's not here. I heard her teaching the children years ago. And she said to them, she said, you determine the kind of person that you want to be. That was such a simple statement, but so powerful. That there's a whole lot in life we cannot determine because life can be so uncertain. But the one thing you can choose is the kind of person that you will be in this life. You choose how you will show up in this world. That's your choice. And I'm asking you and pleading with you to choose God, to choose Jesus. Don't choose the ways of this world. Choose God. Choose Jesus. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it takes away the cool points. Sometimes when we talk about Jesus to our friends, they will think that you are weird, but that's okay. Continue to serve him and him alone. The ball is in your court. And I want to leave y'all with this last truth. As you prepare to walk into your future, your choices will determine your destiny. Let's read again verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Will you prefer the gods of your ancestors who they served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was blunt. He was blunt and real. That he didn't pull any punches. Choose who you're going to serve. If you think it's bad to serve the Lord, if you think it's a bad thing to serve Jesus Christ, then you make the choice in terms of who you're going to serve. There are consequences for your actions. There were consequences for the nation of Israel when they chose idol worship. Listen, you have to choose to leave some people and some things behind. Because they're not about Jesus. They're not on the Jesus train. They're not on the Jesus track. Does it mean that everybody's horrible and bad? But if there's anyone in your life that's interrupting your relationship with Jesus Christ, then perhaps that person does not need to be in your life. I believe this, that God will put people in your life that don't know Jesus so you can be that light, so you can be that salt, so you can be an ambassador for him. But you got to be careful. You got to be oh so careful. Your choices will determine your destiny. Joshua says, he made it clear. As for me and my family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Some of y'all got that plaque in y'all house right now. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Be honest with yourself. You got the plaque on the wall. But is that the truth of your life? Is that the truth of the life of your family? That Joshua 24:15 rings true in your life and it rings true in your family's life. Listen to this. Who you serve, one day y'all gonna have some families. You're gonna have some children. And your parents gonna spoil them. And they gonna send them back home to you. And they gonna laugh. And they gonna say, I got you. See what you did to me? I'm giving it back to you, see? But you'll have beautiful families. You'll have wonderful things. But listen, you determine the future, but you also determine the future of the decisions that your children, perhaps your children's children, will make when you serve God. The greatest legacy that you will leave for your family, Sister Galisa, the greatest legacy we live is to tell them about Jesus, that they need a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is simple, but it's true, and I need y'all to hear me today. Pastor Love made a whole lot of mistakes in his life. Got the bumps and the bruises and the t-shirts to prove it out. Some bad decisions. And the reality, you'll make some bad decisions. But the good news, Brother Mike, Reverend Mike, is that in those bad decisions, it's still covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody glad about that? You made some bad decisions. But in his grace and his mercy, God still kept you. His hand was still upon you. He did not leave you or forsake you. That's the kind of God we serve. Israel made some bad choices. And so all you have to do is go over to the next book in the Bible, the book of Judges, and you will find they made some horrible choices, and they had to suffer the consequences of their choices. And we have to suffer the consequences of our bad choices. But we also reap the benefits and the blessings of choosing the right things in the right way. Your choices will determine your destiny, your future. Amen. The ball is in your court, but live with the understanding that the ball in the court, and you, and everything else, you belong to God, and you're in God's hands. Psalm 24, verse 1 puts it bluntly, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything belongs to him. It's God's will and good pleasure to give you great and wonderful blessings, great and wonderful things, but it's predicated upon what you do with the ball. Is predicated upon what you decide to do with your life. It's predicated upon what you choose. If you choose the right thing, I believe God will blow you up. God will bless you in mighty ways, but you got to make the right choice. I'm asking you today, make the right choice. Make the choice to serve God. Make the choice to follow him. Make the choice to stay on his side. Make the choice to praise him. Make the choice to worship him. Make the choice to serve him all the days of your life. That God wants to give you great things. But more than anything, God wants to give you the greatest thing that you could ever have in your life. And that's a relationship with him. And that relationship only comes through knowing his son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your lives. That the greatest thing that God wants to give you and me is eternal life with him. What will you choose? The ball is in your court. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge us today in this. Allow God to establish your steps. That when you walk in this world, when you live in this world, some steps will seem uncertain. But as long as you allow God to order your steps, as long as you're listening for his voice, there are a whole lot of voices in this world, isn't it, y'all? A whole lot of voices, but learn to understand, learn to interpret and know the voice of Jesus. Learn to read his word and to hear his voice. And wherever he says go, that's where you go. Whatever he asks of you to do, that's what you do. Allow God to establish your steps. Also this, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit's guidance. That as a born-again believer, listen, he places his Holy Spirit on the inside of you. It's that still small voice that tells you when you're on the right path and when you're not. When you're walking in obedience to God and when you are not. So make sure that you listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance in your life. I know that peer pressure is a real thing. The people that you hang out with, that's girlfriend, that's boyfriend, that's, you know, but listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. With that voice, you cannot go wrong. And do this too. I'm just challenging you. Establish a godly thought pattern. Yeah. The only way you got to stay in God's word. Think on those things that are lovely and pure and just, and think on righteous things and holy things. And the only way you'll do that, you got to stay in God's word. Establish a godly thought life, thought pattern. That social media, it has its place, but there's a whole lot out there on social media that's not good. But it's as that old phrase used to say, you know, you are as you eat what you eat. That's what you become. So feast upon the word of God. Feast upon his truth. If we don't make the right choice, you got to be prepared for the consequences of making the wrong choices. Make the right choice. And I'm asking you to choose God, to choose Jesus, to choose life, to choose eternal life. And choosing him, does it mean that you won't have some bumps and bruises? And does it mean life is going to be hunky-dory, it's going to be well every day? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that God will give you his precious and true promises. And his greatest promise is, listen, one day we'll live eternally with him. So choose him. The shot clock is running. It's running out. Right now it seems like you have time on your hands, but listen, you'll blink your eyes and you'll be old like Pastor Love. And you'll ask, where did the time go? The clock is running. And the ball is in your court. Amen. Pray with me. God, we thank you for this word this morning to the seniors and to all of us. That God, you give us the ability to choose in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for the right choices that we've made. Thank you in those bad choices that you kept us. God, thank you for these graduates. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives even now as you elevate them as they graduate. We pray success over their lives. But in this very moment, oh God, we pray right now for any person that's under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins. That you'd speak to their hearts. That you would let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt how real you are. The wages of sin is death. But the gift that you give us is eternal life only through Jesus Christ. So God, I'm asking in this moment, praying in this moment, that you tug at the hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. That those that don't know you would come to know you. That they would seek you. Your word says that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. But thanks be to you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We can admit that we have all sinned and fallen short. In this moment, we repent, we turn from our sins, and we turn to Jesus. We confess Jesus with our mouths and we believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead. And according to your word that saves us, that settles it. Thank you for your saving hand. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your goodness. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this moment. Touch hearts, touch minds right now. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 So based upon that word, I pray that God has tugged at your heart. If you don't have a relationship with him, that you would be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you are in the house today, we invite you to make Jesus your choice. We have ushers that are standing in the back of the room. If you're making this choice for the very first time, or if you are a born-again believer but you're not connected to a local church somewhere, we invite you today to become a part of this fellowship of believers, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Again, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we invite you today to make that choice today. Tomorrow is not promised. Yesterday is gone. Won't you make the choice? Won't you make Jesus your choice today? If you tuned in today to our online ministry and you're wondering, well, how can I do this today? How can I connect with this church fellowship? Well, you can do that. There is a new member form that's online. You can click on that link, fill that information out. And I promise you, on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you. And we will welcome you to Living Faith, amen, with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.